For I've had enough of this world and its pleasures. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Yah. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Father. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Yah. House of my Yah.
Shalom, and welcome to today's teaching on the Hebraic roots of Christianity, where we study first century Christianity and the faith that Jesus, whose Hebrew name is Yeshua, which means salvation, taught his disciples. And now, Hebraic roots teacher Eddie Chumney of Hebraic Heritage Ministries International.
Shalom, I'm Eddie Chumney of Hebraic Heritage Ministries, and we welcome you to today's teaching on the subject, The Principles of the Greater Exodus. This is part 15 of the series.
We went over principles and patterns that are historical, that are associated with the lives of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the history of the nation of Israel, to see that they are types and shadows of understanding the way in which the greater Exodus is going to come about. The greater Exodus meaning the end of the exile of the 12 tribes of Israel and the fulfillment of the prophecy in Ezekiel chapter 37 verses 15 through 28. Of the two sticks, that is Northern Kingdom or Ephraim, the 10 tribes of the house of Joseph being united with the Southern Kingdom or the house of Judah or the Jewish people. And then we started to look at how is this going to happen? What events is it associated with? And so we saw that's associated with the nations dividing the land of Israel and the city of Jerusalem through the recognition and creation of a Palestinian state based upon 1967 borders with East Jerusalem as its capital, that in doing so, the prophecies indicate that the governors of Judah, Zechariah chapter 12, verses 5 and 6, will rise up in opposition and non-acceptance to this Palestinian state with East Jerusalem as its capital. And the prophecies say in Isaiah 66, which is also given in a little bit more detail in Revelation chapter 12, that there will be a declaration of an independent state in the mountains of Israel or Judea, Samaria, and the West Bank, with Jerusalem being designated as its capital. And this event is going to be associated with a time of great travail regarding its birth. And it's even going to look like in Isaiah 66 verse 9 that it's not going to happen in the natural. But the God of Israel, the Messiah, is going to intervene and he's going to back his covenant that he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he's going to bring judgment upon the nations, and central in the judgment of the nations is going to be the judgment of this end-time spiritual land, this entity that is called the daughter of Babylon in the scriptures, whose judgment is given in great detail in Isaiah 13, Isaiah 21, Isaiah 47, Jeremiah 50, 51, Revelation in chapter 18, and that while the nations are being judged, as the daughter of Babylon is falling, he is going to redeem Jacob, and he's going to gather and unite the 12 tribes of Israel, and he's going to bring them back to the land. And so just as the historical Egyptian exodus took place in the spring, and the celebration of it was Passover, that's a prophetic picture that the greater exodus will begin, when the Messiah will bring his people back at a future Passover that starts the Great Tribulation, and that the duration of the greater exodus and the return to the land, as we're shown in Revelation chapter 12, is 3.5 years, 1,260 days. That even as the children of Israel came out of Egypt and they went through the wilderness on their way to the promised land, that's a prophetic picture that his people will be exiled in the nations of the world. They are going to be in what is called in Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 33 and 34, as the wilderness of the peoples. So they're going to be taken from the wilderness of the peoples, of which the wilderness in the desert when the children of Israel came out of Egypt is a prophetic foreshadowing of, on their way to the promised land. And so in looking at this, it is spoken of in Isaiah 66 verse 8, which says, "Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once?" And so this nation in Isaiah 66 verse 8 is called Zion, as soon as Zion travailed. So the nation being born in one day is Zion, and it's being born during travail, which is a term for the tribulation. And as soon as this nation is born, in the way in which it's going to be born, it's going to declare its belief in Zion, or the covenant made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, where the governors of Judah are going to rise up and declare an independent state in the mountains of Israel with Jerusalem as its capital, in non-acceptance of the nations trying to recognize and impose a Palestinian state based upon 1967 borders with East Jerusalem as its capital, that biblical Zion brings forth her children. Her children are those who believe in the covenant made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they are called in Zechariah in chapter 9, verse 13, the sons of Zion. And the prophecy says that the sons of Zion will be in opposition to the sons of Greece. And Esau is associated with Greece because Jacob is likened to sheep, Esau is likened to a goat. And Esau historically dwelt in Mount Seir. And there's a prophecy against Esau in Ezekiel 35. He's addressed as Mount Seir. And the way you say male goat in Hebrew is Seir. And so Esau in his name and the place where he dwelt is associated with a goat. So all those that follow after him are the sons of Greece. And so there are those who stand for the covenant made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There are those who oppose the covenant that was made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so now we have details of a prophecy that we're looking at in Revelation, where this woman who has a crown on her head, which means you rule and reign and have authority over, with 12 stars, that is the 12 tribes of Israel. And when Israel will be ruling and reigning in the earth over the nations, as in Messianic times, when Messiah will rule and reign and set up his kingdom and rule with Israel as the head of all nations, that in Zion being born, that it's through her birth that the Messiah is revealed to the people, and he's revealed in the hearts of his people. And it says in Revelation 12:5 that she, Zion, brought forth a man child who is to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And so then in Psalm 87 verse 5, it says of Zion, it says this, and that man was born in her. And so the people are born in Zion, and they're born and they receive the Messiah in Zion. So now in Micah chapter 5 verses 2 and 3, it speaks of Bethlehem Ephratah, and there's a prophecy there that the Messiah will come out of Bethlehem. Yet out of you shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, that is the Messiah, whose going forth has been from old, from everlasting. And then there's a prophecy in Micah chapter 5 verse 3. He will give them up. And so the biblical expression is hiding his face. And we're told in Isaiah in chapter 8 and verse 14, prophesying about the Messiah, it says, he shall be a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel. The prophecy is that the Messiah would be a rock of offense to both northern kingdom and southern kingdom. How's he a rock of offense to the southern kingdom? They don't accept him as the Messiah, that is Yeshua. How's he a rock of offense to the northern kingdom? Well, the northern kingdom, they are going to accept Yeshua as the Messiah, as the prophecy was in Hosea chapter 1, but they are going to stumble over following Yeshua's Torah. And then regarding the prophecy of the Messiah, in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 17, it says, I will wait upon the Lord that hides his face from the house of Jacob. I will look for him. So the prophecy about the Messiah is that he would hide his face from the house of Jacob. It means he's not going to be fully revealed to his people. And so Micah 5:3, it says, he will give them up. Biblically, he's hiding his face. He's going to hide his face until the time that she which travails has brought forth. Well, the one that's travailing in Isaiah 66 verse 8 is Zion. So he's going to give them up. He won't fully reveal himself to his people, and they won't accept him as the Messiah of the whole house of Jacob until biblical biblical Zion is born. And then once biblical Zion is born, he's going to be born in the hearts of his people. And then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel. That means the end of the exile. So now in Psalm 102 and verse 13, it says, "You will arrive and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time has come." And then it says in verse 16, "When the Lord builds up Zion," when he builds up Zion, "he will appear in his glory." Well, in the Bible, Jerusalem and Zion are synonymous terms. So the building up of Zion is the same as the building up of Jerusalem. And the building up of Jerusalem is defined in Psalm 147 verse 2 as gathering together the outcasts of Israel. So therefore, the Lord will build up Zion. He will build up Jerusalem. He will gather the outcasts of Israel. He will end the exile of the 12 tribes of Israel. And in doing so, he will appear in his glory. And the ending of the exile of his people and the Messiah returning in his glory is the sign or the banner to the nations. Isaiah 11:12. "He will set up a ensign, a banner, a nasi for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth." And so given that we've already seen in previous parts of this teaching that the time when we have the end of the exile, the gathering, uniting the 12 tribes of Israel, is a period of time that the Bible calls the day of the Lord, specifically the darkness of the day of the Lord, or the tribulation period of the great tribulation. With this foundation, with this background, we can see in context and understand what Paul was writing about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, where he says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, and our gathering together unto him." What's the gathering together in the Messiah? When he ends the exile of his people. And so this is called in the prophets the day of the Lord. And who is the Lord? The Lord is Yeshua. And so the day of the Lord is the day of Yeshua. It's the day of Mashiach. It's the day of the Messiah. So in speaking of the gathering together unto him in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul goes on to refer to that day as the day of Messiah being at hand. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 2. So as we referred to a little bit earlier, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14, that is prophesied Messiah will be a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel. Yet it then says in verse 17, "I will wait upon the Lord that hides his face from the house of Jacob." The exile is the hiding of the face. The end of the exile is the revealing of the face and causing the face to shine upon his people. And so then it goes on to say, Isaiah 8:18, "Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells in Mount Zion." So the one that's a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, he dwells in Mount Zion. And then it says in Joel chapter 3, verse 16, that the Lord will roar out of Zion. So when Zion is birthed, when Zion is established, then Yeshua the Messiah will affirm his covenant that he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he will show himself in the sight of all nations, and he will roar like a lion. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah, Revelation chapter 5 and verse 5. So let's summarize what we have covered here recently in seeking to understand the events that are associated with the end of the exile of the 12 tribes and the greater Exodus, and what the scripture has to say about that time. To begin with, number one, the nations will divide the land of Israel and the city of Jerusalem by recognizing and creating a Palestinian state. Number two, in doing so, they will be dividing the land of Israel and the city of Jerusalem, and this will bring about the judgment of the nations. And central in the judgment of the nations is the judgment that comes upon an end-time spiritual land of Babylon, called in the scriptures the daughter of Babylon, and Babylon will be judged, Babylon will be destroyed. I believe this prophetically is fulfilled in the prophecies regarding the United States of America. And the primary judgment upon the nations for dividing Jerusalem is chemical, biological, and nuclear warfare, Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 12. That the tribulation period is a part of the day of the Lord. The tribulation period, also known as Jacob's trouble, Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. And the reason for the term Jacob's trouble is because there is a conflict that goes on from each generation, but it involves the whole world in the last last generation between Jacob and Esau regarding to whom the birthright and the kingship, to whom the land of Israel itself and the inheritance belongs. And the conflict between Jacob and Esau, which was personified in Genesis 32, when in Genesis 31, Jacob was given instruction to return to the land, and there he encountered Esau on his way to return to the land, that this conflict the Bible calls the controversy of Zion. And the rabbis teach that Judah, that is the southern kingdom, the Jewish people, cannot defeat Esau until Judah unites with Joseph. That is the 10 tribes, the northern kingdom, or Ephraim. Then we saw that the reason why the nations are going to be judged for dividing Jerusalem is because Jerusalem is the threshold of the God of Israel. Jerusalem is his house where he placed his name there. He placed his name there through the Hebrew letter Shin. And if you look at the physical layout of Jerusalem, where you can see most easily from an aerial photograph, that Jerusalem is laid out with this Hebrew letter Shin, the name of God. And so he's established Jerusalem as his house. And so if you come into Jerusalem for plunder, then you're crossing his threshold. So if you embrace the covenant that was made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you will be comforted. Otherwise, you will be judged. The United States, prophesied as the daughter of Babylon, will be destroyed for dividing the city of Jerusalem. Then we saw that it's prophesied, Joel chapter 3, verse 6, that Jews in the land of Israel will be forcibly removed from their homes. Number 11, those who believe in the covenant that Yeshua made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will be regarded by the world and viewed as the world as being outcasts. And then number 12, biblical Zion will be born during the tribulation period. Biblical Zion is an independent state that will be declared by the governors of Judah, Zechariah 12, in Judea Samaria or the West Bank. It will come about from the leadership in the land, the governors of Judah, who want to stand for the covenant that was made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and follow his Torah, and they are rejecting and rebelling against the imposition and the recognition by the nations of a Palestinian state based upon 67 borders with East Jerusalem as its capital, which the nations see is the solution of the conflict between Jacob and Esau. Number 13, when biblical Zion is declared, that is the independent state in Judea Samaria with Jerusalem as its capital, declared by the governors of Judah, Zechariah chapter 12, verses 5 and 6, that will trigger the end of the exile of the 12 tribes of Israel. And when biblical Zion is born, the Messiah, Yeshua, will reveal himself to his people. And through the birth of biblical Zion, it's going to cause Messiah to be revealed to his people. And this event is going to bring forth the man-child, the term for the Messiah, when he is going to end the exile of the 12 tribes of Israel. Jacob is born in Zion. This and that man, Jacob, that man was born in her, in Zion. Meaning, Jacob is going to give his heart to Yeshua. That is, those within Jacob who don't know Yeshua as the Messiah, and we're primarily here talking about the Jewish people, when Zion is born and as Yeshua stands for Zion and ends the exile of Jacob. So Joseph, that is the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes or Ephraim, and Judah will unite during the 3.5 years of the great tribulation period that precedes Yeshua setting his feet down on the Mount of Olives. Number 16, Yeshua will gather the exiles of Israel when he roars out of Zion. The next thing that we're going to look at is this issue about who is Jacob? Are the 12 tribes united today? And what we're going to see is that Judaism sees that the northern kingdom is separated from the southern kingdom, and the rabbis teach that only in messianic times will the northern kingdom be united with the southern kingdom and will end their exile and return to the land of Israel through the redemptive work of King Messiah. And so given that Judaism or the rabbis see that northern kingdom and southern kingdom are not united today, we can see this from the book Moses and the Original Torah by Abba Hillel Silver, where it is explained that two distinct traditions are reflected in the historical and legal writings of the Bible, one of the northern kingdom and and the other of the southern kingdom of Judah. In a sense, Israel and Judah were always two separate peoples. They were never truly united, even during the period of the United Kingdom. At least during the period of the United Kingdom, they were not united in their hearts. They parted completely and forever after the days of Solomon and when Jeroboam became the first king of the northern kingdom and Rehoboam the first king of the southern kingdom. These two people shared a common racial origin and many ancestral memories, but their historical experiences from earliest times differed sharply. So now from the book A Matter of Return by Rabbi Raphael Eisenberg on page 129 and 130, there is no consideration by the rabbis that the 12 tribes of Israel are united today. The rabbinic discussion is whether they ever will be. And so we can see the following stated in the book. There is a Talmudic dispute as to whether the 10 tribes will return to the Jewish people. Rabbi Akiva states that the 10 tribes will not return. Well, it was Rabbi Akiva in the year 135 declared Bar Kokhba, a military leader of the Jewish people, in a war or rebellion against Rome as the Messiah. And because the 10 tribes were not united with the southern kingdom in 135 at the time of Rabbi Akiva declaring Bar Kokhba as the Messiah, Rabbi Akiva therefore took the position that the 10 tribes would never return. However, according to Rabbi Eleazar in the Talmud, it says, if Rabbi Eleazar was on this side and all the other rabbis were on the other side, Rabbi Eleazar would outweigh them all. According to Rabbi Eleazar, their darkness, that is, the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes, will light up for them in the future, which means that they will return. And so ultimately, the halakha is that the 10 tribes will return. The halakha is according to Rabbi Eleazar. See, there's no discussion whether they are united today. The discussion is whether they ever will be. Rabbi Akiva says no. Rabbi Eleazar says yes. And actually, the return of the 10 tribes at the time of the redemption in Messianic times is a principle of Jewish faith. It's the fourth principle of faith recorded in Mashmiah Yeshua. And so Rabbi Eisenberg goes on to explain in the book A Matter of Return on page 130 that the rabbis have determined that the halakha, or the legal ruling regarding the matter, is that the 10 tribes will return unto and be joined with the southern kingdom or the Jewish people. We can also see this viewpoint in the book Mashiach, The Principles of Mashiach and Jewish Law and Tradition by Rabbi Emanuel Shohet on page 21 and 22. He writes, the 10 tribes of the northern kingdom of Israel, exiled by the Assyrians before the destruction of the first temple, as is outlined in 2 Kings chapter 17, and the rabbis teach that they were exiled beyond the river Sabbatian in the mountains of darkness, will also return. Now, in the Torah anthology to the Book of the 12 Prophets, volume 2, page 308, we see that Judaism, or the rabbis, see that the 10 tribes will only return in Messianic times.
Well, that's going to conclude part 15 of the series on the subject, The Principles of the Greater Exodus. Shalom in Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.
Thank you, Eddie. This is Stephen Morgan, and all of us here at Hebraic Heritage Ministries pray that you have enjoyed today's teaching. If you've been blessed, will you help us to share this message with others? Hebraic Heritage Ministries is supported by your generous financial gifts. In order to help you in your studies and to help us share this message with others, we are offering today the DVD, Yeshua the Lawgiver, for free for a love gift of any amount to the ministry. Hebraic Heritage Ministries also offers a monthly discipleship program. If you are interested in starting a fellowship group in your area, let us know. We would like to help you. Please contact us for more details. Our website is hebroots.org. That's HEBROOTS.ORG. We would like to hear from you. Please send us an email. Finally, in order to take advantage of today's free offer, please mention this product offer and please mail your love gift to Hebraic Heritage Ministries, P.O. Box 81. Strasburg, that's Strasburg, Ohio, 44680. Until next time, may Yeshua richly bless you.